This is the morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, entitled Conversation Between Manu and Kadama, text number 2 and 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasya vai duhitti brahman deva hutitti vishruta patni prajapate ukta karamasya tvayam naga tasya of that manu vai indeed Duhita, the daughter, Brahman, O holy Brahmana, Devahuti, named Devahuti, Iti, thus, Vishutya, was known, Patni, wife, Pajapate, of the Lord of created beings, Ukta, has been spoken of Karamasya of Kadama Muni Tvaya by you Anagaha O sinless one. Translation: O holy Brahmana, O sinless one, you have spoken of his daughter known by the name Devahuti as the wife of the sage of Kadama, the Lord of created beings. Please repeat, O holy Brahmana, O sinless one, you have spoken of his daughter, known by the name Devahuti, as the wife of the sage Kadama, the Lord of created beings. Here we are speaking of Swayambhuva Manu. But in Bhagavad Gita we hear about Vaishvasata Manu. The present age belongs to the Vaishvasata Manu. Swayambhuva Manu was previously ruling, and his history begins from the Varaha age of the millennium when the Lord appeared as the boar. There are 14 Manus in one day in the life of Brahma, and in the life of each Manu there are particular incidents. The Vaishvasvata Manu of Bhagavad Gita is different from Swayambhuva Manu. Text it. Priyavatoto tamapado shuttau swayambhuvasya vai yatadhamman jugupatu saptadipatim mahim. Translation: the two great sons of Swayambhuva Manu, Priyavata and Uttamapad, ruled the world, consisting of 7 islands, just according to religious principles. Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is also a history of the great rulers of different parts of the universe. In this verse, the names of Priyavata and Uttamapad, sons of Swayambhuva, are mentioned. They rule this earth, which is divided into 7 islands. These 7 islands are still current as Asia, Europe, Africa, America, Australia, and the North and South Poles. There is no chronological history of all the Indian kings in Srimad Bhagavatam, but the deeds of the most important kings, such as Priyavrata and Uttamapad, and many others like Lord Ramchandra and Maharaj Yudhisthira, are recorded because the activities of such pious kings are worth hearing. People may benefit by studying their histories. End of quote. Om Agyanantananda Shagyan Sarakaya Chakulam Jamne Tashmaya Shri Guruvayi Namaha Ma Om Vishnu Pradaya Krishna Paristaya Bhutarei Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swamaniti Namani Namaste Sarasari Devi Gauravani Bacharine Nevishesha Shundavari Pasitate Zatarine. I don't know why we got two shlokas today, but I guess the second one is also mentioning about the, so it's a continuation of the, he has mentioned the two sons of Sayambhuva Manu, and the next one is mentioning his daughter, Devahuti, the wife of the great sage Kadama Muni, the lord of created beings. Who we know Kadama Muni was a Shakta Vaishavata. I believe. So Prabhupada mentions that the Bhagavatam is mentioning some of the kings in throughout the history. Other Puranas will mention different ones, different histories, different kings. But Srimad Bhagavatam is dealing with pure and alloyed devotional service specifically. So it's only given those stories which are most beneficial by studying them or by hearing them, most beneficial for the living entities. In other words, when one hears these stories, one will get attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the ultimate benediction of these histories, or anything. To always remember Krishna is the sum and substance of all knowledge, is to bring you to this point of always remembering Krishna. So Bhagavatam is dealing with nothing but stories that are in connection with or even directly concerning Lord Krishna. That is why it is the Amala Purana, pure Purana. It's not saying anything else, not talking about Dharma, Artha, Karma or Moksha out of relationship with Krishna. Of course, it's mentioned in them that these four perfections of life and the process to achieve these is the same process, more or less, that the devotees follow. It's not that one has to change their activity. It's recommended one follows this Vedic Dharma, Varnashram Dharma, or Devi Varnashram. One follows that. It's just the goal of the Srimad Bhagavatam is pure and alloyed devotional service, where the goals of the other Puranas are not pure and alloyed devotional service. The happiness in this life, happiness in the next life, or liberation, things like that. So people who are not very broad-minded, they're given these short-term goals to at least keep them civilized human beings, that they'll practice or follow a religious system and get their desires fulfilled. At least they'll stay in the human species of life. And because these history, they're also coming from the Lord, the Vedas also coming from the Lord, directly, coming through Lord Brahma, but so the Lord Brahma has been inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to narrate this, speak the Vedas, and so indirectly they are us following Krishna. They are following the Supreme Personality of Godhead's orders. So they're for something for everyone. They're for six Puranas for those in the mode of ignorance, six Puranas for those in the mode of passion, six Puranas in the mode of goodness. because we got your 84 lakh species of life, we're dealing with all different types of mentalities here. And everyone has come in this material world primarily to enjoy sense gratification. And so you get all these different types of bodies in which to facilitate one's desire. But if we act according to the religious principles, that is, religion means that which is given by God, then those desires will actually become purified. Srimad Bhagavatam is a direct process. It's given, the process of purification is service to Krishna. Whereas all of the other processes generally, they're all roundabout, because you're serving the demigods, you're controlling the senses, when you become purified, then you understand what is to be done. After it takes many, many births. Krishna says, after many, many births, wise man understands Vasudeva Savamiti. And then he begins to render service, which Srimad Bhagavatam begins at that. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna says, we are eternal servants, we should engage in service. So we do that from day one, even though we're not purified by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. He's given us his opportunity to engage in service to Krishna through through the medium of himself, who is not different from Radha Krishna. But he's come in they've come in a very merciful aspect, so we can approach them. Otherwise, it is out of the question in Kali Yuga. Here, this is right at the beginning of creation. These are very great souls that we mentioned in Priyavata and Uttamapad. They're such great personalities. And they live for an immense period of time. When Priyavata, at first, he wasn't interested in creating he wasn't interested in increasing the population, which was his purpose. The Mano, coming from Lord Brahma, he's the father of mankind, right? In this case, we're reading about Swayambhuva Mano. So his business is to propagate the fill the universe up with living entities. But Priyavata, I think he was preached to by Narada Muni. He's good at that, and he didn't want to do with it. Get into household life and raise children. He was perfectly satisfied in performing his service and bhajans. So he wouldn't have it. There's a familiar story. It goes a few people like this. So Swayambhuva, he couldn't convince him. So then he bought Lord Brahma personally. And Lord Brahma preached to him. There's in the fifth canto this story of so Lord Brahma said it's very nice. Because the conversation there came about when Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami, who was narrating this, how Priyavrata was such a great devotee, fixed in transcendence. But then he came down to be the king of the universe and was enjoying so nicely. And at the end he gave it up again. So his question was, how can a person who's fixed in transcendence come to back to a materialistic way of life, apparently materialistic way of life? Very unusual, because that's transcendental happiness is much better than the material happiness. So how is it possible for someone who's fixed in transcendence to again come to material life? When Srila Prabhupada talks about the Mayavadis, we have seen Mayavadi sannyasis who give up the world as force. Brahma Satya Jagat Mitya, that is false. They attain this Brahman and they reject, and then they come back again and do philanthropic work. He said, we have seen the Swamis. So he said, why is that? He said, obviously, because they're not actually tasting that Brahma Sukhat. So therefore, they come down. They have to have some activity. Yeah, need some activity. We're living entities. We need some enjoyment. That's the purpose of existence. Krishna's enjoyment is the ultimate purpose, but when we're working like that for Krishna's enjoyment, that's the living entity's greatest enjoyment. Because when you're connected with Krishna, you're connected with the ocean reservoir of pleasure. So there's no, you can't improve on that. The closer you are to Krishna, the closer you are to the ocean, then there's no shortage of there's no shortage of water when you're so an abundant there. But and the more removed, then the less you are. The more removed from Krishna, then the less pleasure there is. So, So unless you actually have it, then you have to have pleasures, and we'll get pleasure by being a great man, a noble man, a charitable man, a religious man, a good humanitarian. This way you get that pleasure from the recognition of other people, which is the best thing. Best thing if the living entity wants to take God's position. If you can get worshipped, then that's the best thing you can do. Then you can give up sex life, which is the central attraction. So Prabhupada mentions like this. Obviously, they weren't tasting that Brahma Sukh. Otherwise, why would they come back to something they rejected as unreal? The Mayavadis, impersonalists. They rejected it as unreal, but still they come back and act in that. So Lord Brahma preached to him very nicely. He said, listen, according to the modes of nature, according to our association with the modes of nature, like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you acquire a different set of senses grouped around a particular body. So that is given by Krishna through the laws of nature. And the happiness and distress that go along with it are already fixed. Karma. Everything is karma in the material world. So your particular body that we have now is a result of our previous association with the particular modes of nature. Therefore, we've all got different bodies, slightly different. Right? No one's exactly the same. Even Jananavas and I are some different. Different natures. So one should act according to one's nature. Krishna says, what good will repression do? When you act according to your nature. Since we're only acting for pleasure, when we're purified, we act for Krishna's pleasure in the purified state. But in the conditioned state, we act for our pleasure. But everything is done for pleasure, isn't it? You're acting for pleasure or relief from some kind of suffering, misery. This is our, in the material world, it's your total driving force. Because material nature is pushing, adi atmik, adi devik, adi bhautik, presenting these miseries. So we're always making plans how to avoid them, because we know they're going to come if they're not already arrived. So we're just one step ahead of Maya, one step ahead all the time. Yeah? We get a job, we get a bank balance, we have food, we pay the rent. For tomorrow, we have enough food. Did one step ahead of Maya. We get the sweater when it comes November. We get our chadars out. We know the cold is going to come. We get our socks out. Right? In the summer, we get the AC on. You know, we know it's going to happen. We expect in problems, so we're prepared for it. So this takes up most of our day doing these things. And then. Then on the small scale, on the micro scale, it's also going on, this defending. Because the material world is like that. So we can't change that. You can stay ahead. You can stay ahead of the big miseries, but look at the endeavor you put into it. The real business is to enjoy, to be happy, peaceful and happy. But look how much you've got to endeavor to stop those things coming and getting us. It's a big endeavor. It's a big endeavor. People work a whole day, every day, 5-6 days a week. Just for that. Just to stop those, just to keep those miseries away. Right? Just to have a house and some food and cloth and shelter, safety. Everyone's working a whole day. Everyone. It's not an exaggeration when they say the material place is Dukkhalaya, Krishna says, top to bottom. So when people say Hare Krishna's are a little negative, when we say it's a place of suffering, but if you actually think about it, it's more suffering than anything else. So, I mean, you've got to run, you've got to keep moving to just keep ahead of the miseries. If you analyze it, if you think about it a little bit. Because people are born like that, they think it's normal, suffering is normal. So therefore they don't question. And also there's no alternative, right? Your mother, father did the same thing. Their parents did the same thing. You got to somehow either stay ahead. So there's no alternative, unless you're very fortunate, then you meet a sadhu, like us. We've met a devotee by good fortune. So now we've got an alternative to this race, to just trying to get one step ahead of Maya, the material. And that thing is you give up that struggle. It's not that you don't bother to defend, of course. But then you minimize that. That doesn't become your main focus in life. How to be peaceful, so then you can really think, put all your energy into how to enjoy nicely, which is what you want. So for the devotees, they don't want either of those things. They don't emphasize the protection, and they don't emphasize the enjoyment. Some enjoyment is there. Some sense of gratification is necessary. Prabhupada, it's like salt. In your meal, you need salt. He said, but if it's too little, the meal is not nice. If it's too much, the meal is not nice. So it just has to be the right balance. So it's tasty and it's healthy all at the same time. So it's a little balance has to be there. So he's saying, Lord Brahma is saying, so all this, you know, happiness and distress is coming anyway. It's already fixed. So what are you actually trying to achieve by not ruling the universe? You're supposed to do it. You're born for that purpose. It's the Lord's desire. So why don't you do it? Anyway, you're transcendental. So whether you do it or whether you don't, you know, your happiness and distress is going to be the same. So that's the lesson for us, that we're working hard, as Prahlada Maharaj says, to avoid the distress. We're working hard to get pleasure, which is coming automatically. Distress comes automatically, so the pleasure will come automatically according to our particular karma. There's no need to endeavor. And anyway, since that it's already fixed, you're not going to get any more or any less. Whatever you do, whatever arrangements you make, we're not going to get any more happiness, nor any more distress or less distress. It's already fixed. It's karma. So this is Krishna's program. So he's saying, so you can rule there. Krishna wants you to rule, and anyway, you won't become attached because you're above all that. So, you know, it's an unusual order for Krishna to give someone who's just doing bhajan meditation to become a king and rule the whole, create children. this is what he did. Then his brother also, Uttamapad, he's a father of Dhruva, who's one success story in Bhagavatam, who went back to Godhead, Dhruvaraj. So then he agreed that you're gonna do it anyway. We're all bound up. The example given in the fifth canto is that just like a blind man takes help from a person who can see to lead them, that seeing that we're actually dependent on the Lord in all respects, you have to be convinced of that. That you're not, by your own endeavor, you're not going to change your quality of happiness and distress, or the amount of happiness and distress. So one should, or he says one must, accept to follow the Lord's program. So there's a difference between material life and spiritual life. We give up our program for happiness and distress, and then agree to be led by the Lord. That means the Srimad Bhagavatam, the devotees, Guru. That's all. It's a big step, because it means you have to put down your false ego. It means you have to set someone else's mind above yours. It means someone else knows better than me. I better follow them rather than what I like or I don't like to think is good. It's a big step. It's the ultimate step in the false ego. But if you look at it philosophically, there's no alternative. Because as soon as we forget Krishna, as soon as we act independently of Krishna, then what are we doing? We're becoming more entangled in the material nature. As soon as we act according to our own desires, if it's not Shastric, some or other, then immediately that implicates us in karma, right? If we're not doing it for Krishna, what are we doing it for? If we're not doing it out of a sense of duty, why are we doing it? So then, that means I'm doing it for myself. So then there'll be a reaction. If I'm doing the activity for myself, I get the reaction. If I do it for Krishna, he gets the reaction. That's why devotional service is called akarma. You don't get the reaction. You're not doing it for result for yourself. You're doing it simply as a matter of duty in the beginning. So someone has to do that. But this is what alternative is there actually? If you think about it, there's no alternative. If you want to get out of the material world, if you want to get out of this cycle of birth and death, if you want to become free from this karma, then this is a way to do it. The thing is already chalked out. It's not that you have to do a lot of thinking. The program is already chalked out. How to get up in the morning, what to do first as soon as you wake up in the morning, and what to do throughout the whole day. The program is already there, and you don't have to think much about that. Then you do something which you like to do, if it's possible, to earn a living, to get something to eat, and get your protection. For that much. For that much. You don't need all these other unnecessary things nowadays. You just have to have enough to live comfortably. And you have need that material knowledge in which to do that. How to live comfortably. It's not that you have to know every branch of knowledge, material knowledge, and go to school for 20 years. Yeah, well, most of the stuff you don't use anyway. That education is only for get to earn some money, that's all. No one's doing it to be a leader of the world, to change the course of civilization, to make it a better place to live, generally. They're all doing it for a big wage packet. But they're sacrificing so many years of their life just to get all this knowledge. Yeah, Uttampadva lived for 1,100 million years. Enjoying very nicely with his family. He actually became attached to his family. So like that, he's saying that, just be agree. He said, we're blind. You're like a blind man. Look, we're all blind in Kali Yuga. We don't have any adhika. We don't have any good qualities practically. Simply mercy, we've been picked up by the followers of Lord Chaitanya. That's all. And directed, this is what spiritual life means. Do it. Wake up in the morning, chant Hare Krishna. Clean your body, put on clean clothes, go to see the deity in the temple or in your house. Chant his names, hear his pastimes, offer your food. That's spiritual life. What does spiritual life mean? So that's all. We simply have to follow, just like a blind man. We just follow what's already laid down for us. And then you're safe. That's the platform of liberation. If you're already really transcendental, then it doesn't matter. But if you're not transcendental, they're saying you go to the forest, is it making a difference? You can go from one forest to another. He said, but if your senses aren't controlled, the senses, he says, they liken the senses to six enemies or six co-wives. If you've got six co-wives, there's a lot of family things going on between. So he said, you're going to make one forest as a sannyasi to the other forest, but if your senses aren't controlled, he said, you're traveling with six co-wives. So it doesn't matter whether you're here or there. Gitako, boni, tako, whether you go to the forest, whether you go in the house, you worship Krishna. You engage in devotional service to Krishna. So that's relative, whether you want to go through in a renounced mode or a different mode, or a social mode, that's irrelevant. As long as we connect everything with Krishna, as long as we connect all our activities to Krishna, then that's superficial. But both of those persons are doing that. They're both at the end of their life. They go back to Godhead. So that's than another. He was so powerful. Uttam Priyavrata. He was so powerful that he didn't like it when the sun rose. When the sun was in the north, there wasn't much light, sun in the south and other time. He was so powerful, he got in this huge effulgent chariot. And he was also a very effulgent person. And he followed the sun. The sun was going here and he was going in the same route. So it was always nice. Plenty of sunshine everywhere. He was the light from his chariot. They said the rats caused by the chariot wheels, they made the seven varshas, and they filled up with different substances like salt water and ghee and sugar cane juice and alcohol and fresh water, these things. And then those other, and I think he had. Some of his sons, seven of his sons, some of his sons took sannyas, seven of them he put in charge of one of those dweebs. We'll understand more about this when the Vedic planetarium comes up, how it looks like. So this is a very potent people here. And their sister gave birth to Devahuti, gave birth to Kapila, who's always a partial incarnation of the Lord. So all these great incarnations and pure devotees are coming from them. So these are the ones that are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Otherwise, so what's the use of reading about the others who don't do any really, you know, if they don't do really anything really significant for us, even if they may do something significant materially, but if they don't actually, if there's no real message there, then those ones aren't mentioned. Only the prominent kings are mentioned, which are, and also some of the great souls are also not mentioned. The very great souls also not mentioned. Because they lived so pure, their lives were so simple that it doesn't make very interesting reading. So we want something with a little. We want to get something, you know, some oomph. And otherwise, we can't keep focus. So therefore, we have these very far out stories, you know, universal battles and, you know, all kinds of things going on, just to keep our interest. And there's those lives which are full of intrigue and romance and politics and danger, and then you want to hear those kind of things. So then those ones are mentioned, and the very pious people or very impious people who are killed by the Lord or something like that. So it's not possible to mention everyone, but anyway, these very important ones, because they're all, and of course he's mentioned like the Lord himself, like Ramchandra, Lord Ramchandra and Maharaj Yudhisthira. We hear their histories, but simply by hearing them we get purified. So Srila Prabhupada said, we go back to Godhead simply by hearing. We go back to Godhead. Because if you hear about them, then we're associating with these people. And then when they become our guides, our heroes, we develop our values from their values. And you know, this is how it was. That's why the, you know, Mahabharata was always spoken and just to uplift the people in general. They'd be our role models. And then that is our way back home, back to Godhead. Simply by hearing the narrations of the pastimes of the Lord and his devotees, and chanting his holy names, specifically Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shubhavari ki jai, Dai Gopremanandi, Hari Hari.